Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 391. Top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you.
What are you eating?
Soup and bread.
Is that like broccoli? It might be broccoli
it's
and cauliflower.
Broccoli and cauliflower soup with some rigatoni pasta in it. Sorry, my voice has just decided to go.
You've just gotten emotional.
Just got emotional about my soup, and there's a ton of parmesan on the top.
Nice.
A little bit too much for me, but.
Oh, okay.
It's all right. It's gorgeous.
Oh, that's okay. Do you like going overseas to a place called Japan and going on trains? You probably would.
Yeah.
You'd be all right with that.
Yeah.
We are reviewing a book a little bit later on, all thanks to Penguin Books. It's a Japanese book.
Oh, my gosh, I really enjoyed it.
You loved it. I'm halfway through and I'm loving it. It's so cozy.
It's so cozy.
It's the best time to release a cozy book. Winter.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about
I finished it in really fast, like 2 days, working full time.
There you go. That says a lot. I have then created a quiz about trains in Japan.
Oh. My knowledge of trains in Japan is
that book.
That book, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And I did one of, you know, those reads you see them on reels all the time where when you're reading it in your head, you never read a person's name or a place phonetically. You just kind of go, I don't know. And so every train station that they talked about or train line, I was like, and then the train went through.
No.
That's and then right. And they went through that one too.
People like, do that all the time with fantasy books.
Yeah.
And then they travelled through the ferocious forest of Shannon.
But see, that even is a way more effort than I put in. Like I was like, through that one. Yep. And because this is a early release copy, there are pages in it without giving too much away. It has pictures where it says like picture to come, illustration to come, and it's like map to come. It's like, well, I've got no map to refer to, so I don't really know where they're going anyway. So,
so funny.
Go through. Da-da-da.
Oh, it's so funny. Okay. Speaking of funny, I'll be talking about Sarah Silverman, which I forgot to speak about a couple of weeks ago. Be doing that. And that will all be in the watching suggestions, the quizzings. But first, what do we have to do?
The news.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
That was nice. Thanks. Like it that we mix it up a bit. Yeah. We're not always Alanis Morissette.
No.
Okay?
God.
Far out. Will you please leave us alone? She's trying to eat soup and I'm trying to find the tab that I want to talk about first in the news because I've got three stories. I think I'm going to talk about Temuera Morrison. Now, he's the bloke that is Boba Fett. And he said he's a bit sad because they haven't asked for another Book of Boba Fett series.
Oh.
I think it was released in about 2022 and they just haven't asked for another one. I watched it. It wasn't that great. It wasn't one of my favourite Star Wars series.
So being real,
yeah,
you're not going to get one because it wasn't good.
That's right. And he was kind of saying, yeah, but Ahsoka has one, like they've got another one coming up. And I thought, oh, okay, I think I did enjoy that one more. There was more that made me want to watch than the Boba Fett one.
I mean, you can't blame him. He just wants a job.
And I'd imagine Disney pays well.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, he, you know, he plays an iconic character, Boba Fett. Like you can't get much more iconic. That character has been in all of the originals.
Yep.
And some of the prequels too.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen them. I understand that he's a little bit sad. He was saying, where's my season two? When they were talking about the second season that Rosario Dawson is doing, of course, with Ahsoka. He's not getting it, at least not yet. But you never know. You know, they could always go back. And seeing he is the person, he is the character, He'll get it. They've got to eventually circle back to stuff, right?
Surely. Well, it's their universe. They can.
Yeah, that's true. They can do whatever the hell they want or not want to do. It's funny. There seems to be a lot of people recently who are rediscovering or jumping back into Lego Masters in Australia.
We were only talking about Lego Masters.
Exactly.
Like a day or two ago.
Not that long ago, right?
That's cool.
Anyway, they've got a new host for Lego Masters America. Oh. They're up to season 6.
You had me worried there for
a minute. No. Because that would be worrisome. That would be worrisome.
Die a swift death.
I think you're
if
right,
Hamish
actually.
Left.
I think he is Lego Masters.
He is.
He and Brickman, Lego Masters. Yeah. If those two leave, you might as well not have it.
I mean, you don't even need contestants. You just need those two making stuff, right?
Totally. So they had Will Arnett over there in America, which, you know, that fits really well if they're kind of. If Lego Masters is looking for someone who's very similar to or the like other hosts who that work in terms of popularity, I think Will Arnett is a good one to go for. But he's left, so they've now got Nick Cannon, who is a host of lots of stuff.
Yeah.
I think he was the host of The Masked Singer over there.
So he's got it down pat.
Absolutely, and I feel like he's done other hosting as well in the past. I don't know. I just feel like I remember him as a host of other things. But
what kind of work do you reckon would be harder? Acting, like whether motion picture or a series, or hosting a big series?
I feel like it's a personality thing.
Mm.
Because if I think about it, I think I would rather host, right? Because you can kind of ad lib a bit. I'm sure you could ad lib in acting as well, but I'm also not a trained actor. I was trained to do radio.
Yeah.
And announcing that way. So I feel
I think I would be so much more comfortable acting.
Yeah, right.
Than the hosting. I'd be so nervous of thinking on the fly.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I'd be going,
isn't that funny? Because I'm like, I can't pick acting because then I would have to remember the lines. So and that ad living is like,
and I'm like, I find comfort in knowing what I'm doing.
Knowing already, knowing in advance what I'm going to say. I think Nick Cannon's probably going to be pretty good. He's got kids. He's probably done many a Lego build with his kids. Doesn't he have some Mariah Carey kids?
Yeah, he does, I think.
Some of them.
Just a couple.
We have a few of those.
Picked up a few.
Yeah, just all along the way. Matthew McConaughey. He is teaming up with the True Detective creator. If you remember, he was in the first season of True Detective. That was a really cool, weird series, you know, like murder mystery, but like is it weird. Just a murder mystery? Yeah, or is there other things going on? That's what I like about True Detective. It's good. But anyway, he's going to be in, looks like a movie, like a film, but it's based on an iconic character that I must admit, I don't know. Have you ever heard of Mike Hammer?
No.
No.
Sorry, I was thinking Chris Hammer. I was like, I know.
Oh, yeah. No, apparently he's the main character of a series of, I'm going to quote from Deadline, series of hard-boiled detective novels starting with 1947's I, the Jury. And it became very popular back in the day. Apparently more than 250 million copies of Mike Hammer books have been sold globally. How have I never heard of this? I feel ridiculous. Do we need to start watching this? No, you know what I'm going to do? I'll watch his movie, and if it's good, then I'll read the books.
Yeah, okay.
What about you?
I'll wait for you to tell me.
Sounds like an adventure sort of whodunit kind of thing.
I'm always up for a whodunit.
Maybe a bit of a James Bond, maybe?
Okay.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
I mean, spy espionage is fun to read.
Mm-hmm. You've got your Famous Five, your Secret Sevens, your Agatha Christies. You've got your Nancy Drew's Hardy Boy. That's true. Oh, no, she's not a spy. You're right. I was just thinking whodunit. Far out. I got the two genres mixed up. We can't be talking about news anymore. I'm clearly not qualified. It's time to get into the watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Book first?
Let's do it.
This book is by Hiro Arikawa, who was the author of The Traveling Cat Chronicles.
Yeah.
Which I have heard of.
Bestsellers.
Absolutely. And this is a English translated, but you know, it's a fine art of translating. Like they have certain translators for certain genres I've heard. And I'm worried about them when it comes to AI, and I worry about us not enjoying
It is
the translations
much.
Because of AI.
True, because there's definitely still a voice that comes through and the lilt in
I have to get the right
language.
Tone, yeah. The subtext, all of that. Anyway, this book that we have been given by Penguin Books is called The Passengers on the Hankou Line, and it is a little bit anthology, little bit.
Oh, but it's really clever.
But it comes together.
It comes together. So it starts with
it's the library people. The two people
yeah,
who love books.
But it's really only from the guy's perspective. Mm. And it's a really quaint little story. And then another passenger on the train that is just briefly mentioned within that chapter, the next chapter is from their point of view and they allude to seeing those characters. And that's the woven narrative
yeah,
throughout.
Each chapter, yeah, different point of view from that moment.
Yeah, mm. And one of the best things, there were two really amazing things. One was as a reader being like, okay, so they've bumped into two characters. Who's going to be the next chapter?
Mm, yes.
Like a little bit of a, oh my gosh, who's it going to be?
Yeah, where's the connection?
And then the other one is you don't lose the characters completely once they get off the train. The story comes back to
yes.
them and it comes back over a period of time. So you these characters that you became really attached to in one little chapter.
It's crazy.
And you think, oh, I'm never going to see them again because they're just a passenger on this train line. They come back to it and you find out about how they progressed in their life and you think, this is the best book ever.
This is what I want. It's funny you say that because it made me think about I was only thinking about this morning actually. There was one car when I was driving early, early in the morning mm. and we would go almost the exact same way.
Yeah.
At the exact same time,
yep.
every single day I saw this car and they probably saw me as well. Mm. And then there was a guy, this is even earlier on, I was driving earlier and I would see him. He must have been trying to catch the first bus of the day.
Yeah, okay.
He was an older gentleman and I would see him every day. I'd be like, there he is, there he is,
yeah.
there he is. Oh, I'm a bit late. He's not there.
Yeah.
And then he wasn't there for a while and then he was.
Okay.
And then I thought about him only recently. I was like, that was not a long time ago. It was probably 8 years ago.
Yeah.
He's probably not getting up to go to the wherever he was going,
where
whether
is
he was
he?
At work. Where
Does
he is
live he? In the area?
Is he still on this earth anymore?
Yeah.
Like all this kind of thing. And that's that kind
yes.
of feeling. You know, these people that you see every day, but you don't really know anything about them.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were observant of the world around them. So
yes.
they weren't just so insular in themselves.
Not on their phones.
And they weren't on their phones, but it kept sort of coming back to a certain, I won't say landmark, but a view that they could see out the window.
Yes.
And different passengers in different chapters would notice that. And
think, have different theories.
Yeah. And they would make theories about each other on the
oh,
train, just
yes,
like you
fun.
Did of that older
yes.
gentleman catching the bus, they'd be like, oh, wonder what they're doing there. Like, oh, I saw that person again. Mm. They were here last week. It's such, like you said, it's a cozy.
So cozy.
Lovely, beautiful, easy read. But it's also really educational in terms of Japanese culture and respect and the levels of language that they use. For when they meet somebody to when they're comfortable with somebody, and that's what the book did really well, as in talking in one way to somebody that they're just sitting next to on the train, have had an interaction with, to then how that language and that conversation eases and progresses as they get to know each other just between train stops.
And once again, that was obviously in the original Japanese mm. version of it, but the translator, Alison Markin Powell, must have had to have made sure that that was portrayed obviously enough
mm.
to English speakers who may not know that about
yes.
the culture.
Yes. So then I wonder if there were certain sentences
that was added
in mm. there to explain what was happening.
The Japanese readers would have known.
They wouldn't have
away.
To.
Like, yeah.
They wouldn't have
yeah.
to. Yeah.
Mm.
It was interesting. I'm definitely reading more works of theirs.
Yeah, I want to read the Travelling Cat Chronicles as well. Yeah, me too. There's a lot of it. It's funny. There seems to be a lot about cats or, like, pets, cozy pets in Japanese. It's not just literature, but a lot of stuff. I think they work so hard and they work so many long hours that the coziness of that kind of read or that kind of watch is important to them.
Yeah.
And us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely go and have a read of it, the passengers on the Hankou line. It's funny because Hankou is similar to the way that
Henry says thank you. Like, it's exactly it.
Yeah.
Hankou.
Maybe he's just talking about this book. Maybe. So what else? What else did you? What did you watch? What did
you watch this week? I watched a series on Prime called The Better Sister.
Oh, so it's about me?
Yeah, no, it's about me. It stars Jessica Biel and Elizabeth Banks. A really great match, because I wouldn't normally think that they'd put them together as sisters, but they're obviously different enough to have that quirk of sisters and sisters who are not in each other's pockets.
Yeah, sure. That sort of thing. Okay, I get it.
So it is a bit of a whodunit. Mm-hmm. It's a drama crime sort of one, which Jessica Biel is doing a lot lately, and she's doing really well, isn't she?
That's kind of what I know her for now.
I mean, apart from Seventh Heaven.
Yeah, of course.
She does like acclaimed drama. So anyway, this one is Jessica Biel plays a woman called Chloe Taylor who has, you know, built up a phenomenal career in magazines and publishing. And she it seems to me as though it's a bit of a help column that she writes, but not in a trashy way, more of like takes a political stance of what is right and wrong, like be on the right side of history. And so she gets a bit of, you know, social media backlash and threats and things like that. But she has this incredibly beautiful, privileged life with, you know, galas to go to and all of this sort of stuff, and does it side by side with her husband, who's a very successful lawyer. However, the idyllic life that they portray gets entirely shattered when her husband turns up murdered in their holiday house, like their Hamptons house. And
was she there?
She found him.
Okay.
Now, there are some moves that she makes the evening of the murder that, as the viewer, and I'm not giving it away because this is the beginning of it, you don't know what her motives are, and you're like, do you know more than you're telling us? Are you involved? Are you covering for somebody? Is this all an elaborate ruse, or are you just an innocent victim and that's just how you reacted?
Yeah.
So her world comes crashing down, obviously, when her husband is murdered. But you get this sense that people don't really like him, that there's a lot of pomp and circumstance.
So definitely other suspects.
Yes. And you're like, well, hang on, is she grieving? Because if she was that awful, if he was that awful, sorry, is she grieving? I don't know. But the world comes crashing down even more so when her son is arrested for the murder of his father.
Oh, okay. A teenage son.
Wow. Bit of an outcast, you know, clearly comes from a wealthy, privileged family, but a bit of an outcast in his social standings. And Chloe Taylor, Jessica Biel's character, has no right to speak for him or hear about anything because she's not actually the biological mother, nor has any rights to him, because her sister, who's played by Elizabeth Banks, is actually the mother.
What?
And she was going through her own difficult times, mental health issues, and was married to Chloe Taylor's husband.
This is wild. So there's a
wild triangle, and they removed the original mother. Like, she didn't have custody because of safety, but they never gave the new wife, who's Jessica Biel, any rights to the son.
Wow.
So she's got nothing. So then this sister, who is absolutely estranged from Jessica Biel, comes in. They are polar opposites. There's clearly a lot of trauma that has happened that has rift them apart, but we don't really know what it is. We're obviously going to find out.
Mm.
And they have to work together to try and support their son.
Wow.
But at the same time, there are still actions happening from all of the players that you go, are they innocent? I don't know.
That is wild.
Wild. It's a good series.
Good twists.
Good twists.
Even just you telling us this without spoiling anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not spoiling anything, but I think you're really going to enjoy it.
I think so.
Yeah.
Is it new? Or?
It's really new.
Okay.
It's a new release on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
It is along the same sort of lines as like the Harlan Corbins.
Oh, okay.
That sort
that
of
kind of vibe.
Yeah, even Perfect Couple with Nicole Kidman.
Yep.
It's in that frame that people are doing now, and it was a novel. So it's based and rewritten adapted for a screenplay. And you can tell that it's a novel. There is such a stark difference between written for the screen or adapted for the screen, because the adapted ones are so good.
I watched on Netflix, this is a couple of weeks ago actually, Sarah Silverman Postmortem. It was a stand-up show of hers from this year. So I watched it, I think, within the first week, but then I didn't talk about it. it was about her basically, I think she was basically trying to make her feel a little bit better, and also pay homage to her father and stepmother who died within, it wasn't very long.
Mm.
They died very close to each other. So, you know, she had to first deal with the loss of her stepmother, who she was really super close with, help her father overcome that, and then he got really sick and passed away as well.
God.
So it was a lot of, that kind of,
Trying to make light of death,
but also pay respect and by telling funny stories about them, funny stories, funny things that they would do, funny quirks. She also spoke about her mother who died maybe about 10 years ago, I think it was.
That's what people do at wakes, isn't it?
That's what you do. You try and make yourself feel better. And, I thought, that's it was a bit sad to watch it. But then I started thinking about it afterwards. And I thought, that is actually a really nice thing to do.
Mm.
What would, if you were the parent of a really successful stand-up comedian, how would you like her, or how would you expect her to pay homage to you? And that is exactly how.
And to cope with grief.
Exactly. Yeah. And she said she was basically her father's carer.
Mm.
She was looking after him, doing all these, bodily function things.
Yeah.
But she just did because that's.
You do it.
You just what you do. Anyway, at the end during the credits, there were all these photographs of.
Oh, nice.
Of her with her, father, stepmother, mother. Growing up from years ago, from recently, there were videos of the father, and I didn't know this guy, but I just heard her talk about him for a couple of hours, and I was tearing up, and it makes you think this is someone who has gone through some really hard, grieving moments in her life, and now she's sort of coming out the other end, but also embracing the journey of coming out the other end.
Yeah.
It was good. And also
sounds really honest, and it was honest integrity for the parents as well.
Absolutely.
As her journey.
There were like I said, it was so respectful. But there were also bits where you're like, this is how they like when she joked about something, I was like, this they would have joked about this together, or, the whole family would have made fun of the dad for doing that.
Yeah.
And he would have been part of that joke. It was good. And also, she doesn't age.
Mm.
How is she not aging?
I don't know.
Anyway, I know she's in Hollywood, but no, she looked great. And I would definitely watch it because at first I was like, do I really want to watch this? Because it might be sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sad and funny. I don't know how to feel about it, but it was good. It was worth it.
Amazing.
It was definitely worth it. But something else that I feel is really, really worth doing?
Is it a quiz about train lines?
Yes, but only in Japan.
to a place I have never been.
You haven't been there, but you've read a book about it. So yeah. I really do feel like you're...
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where this is so going to go.
Okay. Kishi Station had a cat called Tama, who was their station master. Unfortunately, she passed away in 2015, but she does have a replacement mm-hmm. now. But I want you to tell me, what kind of cat was she? I'm not talking breed. What kind of cat was Tama?
Tama was a grey tabby. No. Okay. She was pure white.
Can I just explain to you once again? She was the station master. She was the boss of a train station.
She was a tortoiseshell.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry.
Didn't think that one through, did you? The clues were there.
Yeah, they were. I just, like, maybe it was underlined on your notes, but I didn't see the underlining.
Oh. Yeah. A calico is what she was, but they're both the same.
Tortitude.
The same thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. She was checking tickets and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Letting people know she was very highly unimpressed with them.
If she was a female tabby cat, she would have still been in charge, but it would have been a lot softer approach.
You might have gotten a cuddle.
How many Shinkansen lines are there?
Oh, I was
Shinkansen.
Really hoping this would be a cat
in Japan.
Train station quiz.
I know.
Like you set
we
me
are,
on.
We're going back and forth.
Say it again. I wasn't listening.
How many bullet trains, Shinkansen lines, not actual trains, lines are there in Japan?
7.
Oh, you're so close. Oh, my God. There's 9. And I was like, that's not much. I would have guessed way more. And you were like, I'm just going to guess 2 out.
Yeah.
Far out.
I'm really good.
I know that.
At guessing.
There's a company in Japan called JR. You get your JR pass, which is Shinkansen and other things.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me, what does JR stand for?
Japanese Rail.
Oh, so line. Close.
Japan Rail.
Japan Railway. Railways.
Yeah, I would have gotten there eventually.
I know, you did. You got there. True or false, there's a Hello Kitty Shinkansen train.
True.
Yes. Any other country, you'd be like, no, they wouldn't do that. Japan.
I just used Jasper's true or false theory and it worked.
If it's too ridiculous, it's true.
It's true.
Yeah. Final. Oh, no, I've got two more. In Gwen Stefani's song where she goes, what you waiting, what you waiting, what you waiting for? She talks about Shinjuku girls. Is Shinjuku a train station or a suburb?
I thought she spoke about Harajuku girls.
Oh, whatever, Shinjuku.
False, no.
It is.
It is, yes, station. True, it is.
I got that mixed up because I honestly thought she says Shinjuku girl. Anyway, mixed up. What side do people stand on when they're standing on escalators in Tokyo train stations?
The right? Left. Good on
them.
Because
they drive on the left.
I didn't know that, but okay.
But in Osaka, they stand on the right. And I asked why, and the answer was because they don't want to be like Tokyo and Kyoto.
Oh, my God. I love it. It's like Sydney, Melbourne, Perth rivalry for zero reason
no
whatsoever.
Reason. Absolutely no reason.
Yeah. And Tokyo doesn't care.
They don't even know.
Yeah, yeah.
They've never gone.
That's the Sydney-Melbourne. Sydney's like, what? Who? Melbourne?
Why is there a rivalry?
There's a rivalry? Yeah. What? I didn't know until I went to Melbourne.
Until you told
and
me.
And everybody that there was a asked rivalry. Me about it. And I was like, what do you mean?
Okay.
I mean, clearly Sydney's better.
We don't have a rivalry because we already know.
Because we're not playing.
You know what we are? You know when you're at the traffic lights and there's a car that's revving next to you because they want to do like first off, what do they call it? Like the, I don't know, the race, like the burn off or whatever. And you're like, you can do your own race.
Rev, I don't care.
And they go, straight away.
I've waved and smiled at them like, hey. And then they go and I go extra slowly.
Leave at the same time.
And what makes me laugh even more is like the juxtaposition of the two thoughts in the two cars. Like they'd be like, oh, losers. They left them in my smoke. And I'd be like, I planned
it
this way.
You look ridiculous.
You are ridiculous. And I am having fun not playing your game.
Oh, that was brilliant. I loved all of that, especially the cat quiz. Sorry, the Japanese quiz. Sorry, the Japanese train quiz.
Sorry, the Japanese train cat quiz.
That's right.
Not trained cat, just the trained cat.
No. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
More cats next time.
Okay.